Those who are visiting with us this morning, we are working our way through a series in Ephesians chapter 6, which we've called Dressed for Battle. And we're looking this morning at the fourth piece of battle equipment that God gives us in our fight with the evil one. Before we begin, let's pray and ask God for his help. Living God, we ask that you might equip us now so that we might be able to stand firm against our enemy and be worthy soldiers in your army. Amen. Julius Caesar was not an easy man to impress. Nevertheless, the hardened general couldn't help but sing the praises of one of his centurions, a man by the name of Cassius Scaevola. During the Battle of Dyrrachium in 48 BC, Cassius Scaevola played a pivotal role in defending Caesar's fortifications against Pompey's advancing army. Though outnumbered 2-1, Scaevola managed to successfully see off wave after wave of enemy troops. Realizing that the centurion wasn't going to give up without a fight, General Pompey decided to throw everything he had at Scaevola's position. All of a sudden, the sky above the battlefield went dark. Pompey had commanded his archers to shoot every arrow they had at the fortification. Roughly 30,000 arrows fell directly where Scaevola was taking his stand with his fellow soldiers. Somehow, the centurion managed to survive and to win the victory for Caesar. Legend has it that after the battle was over, Julius Caesar came to praise Scaevola for his bravery when the hardened general came to inspect his soldier. He couldn't help but notice the centurion's battered shield. The general counted 120 arrow holes. Scaevola's shield had saved him from the arrows of the enemy as well as from a certain death on the battlefield. Over the last few Sundays, we as a church have been working through a sermon series in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. In this well-known passage, the Apostle Paul, he employs the image of a Roman soldier's armor to illustrate the various spiritual resources we believers have at our disposal in our fight with the evil one. For instance, we've already looked at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Last week, we considered the gospel boots that give us stability and mobility in our fight with the evil one. This week, we're going to be considering the fourth spiritual resource that believers are equipped with in our spiritual battle with the devil. Paul mentions it there in verse 16. Faith, which the apostle compares to a shield. Now, as we look at what Paul has to say about this shield, I want to consider three points. Firstly, I want us to consider the peril every believer faces And then I want us to look at the protection every believer possesses. And then I want to finish by considering the pressing need every believer has. So let's begin by considering that first point, the peril every believer faces. Throughout Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, Paul has been reminding believers of a reality that we often neglect or downplay. And that is this: we have an enemy. While this enemy goes by many names and titles, the apostle identifies him for us there in verse 11. It's the devil, God's age-old opponent. According to Paul, this enemy of ours is dead set determined on destroying you and me. And you'll notice that Paul tells us how he's trying to do this in verse 16. By shooting his flaming darts at us. Like Cassius Scaevola at the Battle of Dyrrhachium, we believers have an enemy who is constantly raining down arrows upon us. Now, though these arrows are metaphorical in nature, that doesn't make them any less real or destructive. To be hit by one of the devil's darts can do great damage to a believer, especially if we're not properly protected. Now, when it comes to his arsenal, the devil, he has a number of different weapons at his disposal. Some of you may have felt them before. Now, for instance, at times he may shoot his fiery darts of temptation our way, inflaming our flammable hearts with lusts and desires that are not of him, and that can destroy us. At other times, he may choose to shoot fiery darts of deception our way, hoping to lead us away from the truth into error. At other times, he may shoot fiery darts of accusation our way. He is the accuser after all, reminding us of past failures and our present shortcomings. The darts come in different shapes and sizes, but they are shot our way with one intention in mind: to destroy us and to burn down our faith. Now, part of growing in maturity is being able to recognize when you are under fire. For instance, as a pastor, I've come to expect the evil one to shoot some darts my way around 7 p.m. come Saturday night. It's often around then that I notice the devil does his best to get at me in a whole host of different ways. This usually takes the form of undermining my confidence in my ability to preach or in the message that I've put together. Now, early on in my ministry — that makes me sound really old, but anyway — early on in my ministry, I used to think that was simply nerves or some underlying anxiety. But as I've grown, I've come to see it for what it actually is. It's Satan's darts. While the darts may differ from believer to believer, the threat is the same. We are all under fire. And we would do well to recognize that reality and not to dismiss it as superstitious. Now, Paul not only warns us about the peril that we face, you'll notice that he also points us to the protection. And that's the second point I want us to consider: the protection every believer possesses. See, God has given us a shield which is able to protect us when we come under fire from the devil, which we certainly will. Now, given that Paul was basing his imagery in Ephesians 6 off a Roman soldier's battle kit. The apostle probably had in mind a shield called the scutum, measuring about 1.2 meters in length and 75 centimeters in width, probably about the size of this pulpit. The scutum was large enough to protect a soldier's body. The shield consisted of two layers of wood glued together that were subsequently covered, first with linen and then with cowhide before being bound at the top and the bottom in iron. While not easy to maneuver, the scutum did provide maximum protection for a soldier on the battlefield, especially when he came under fire from enemy archers. Now, before going into battle, a Roman soldier would do something that may initially sound a little bit strange to all of us. He would soak the shield in water. And there was a reason for this. When the enemy shot his fiery arrows at the soldier, the drenched shield would be able to extinguish the flame upon impact. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, the apostle, he's teaching us that we believers, that we have a shield that is able to extinguish the flaming darts that the devil shoots at us. And that shield is our faith. And just as the Roman scutum was big enough and strong enough to protect a soldier's entire body, Paul, he tells us that faith itself is sufficient to protect us from all the darts of the evil one. But what exactly does Paul mean here by faith? I think it's an important question to ask, given the various misconceptions about faith that are floating around these days. For instance, there are many people who think faith is simply a feeling, which comes and goes depending on the weather. It's something ethereal, something whimsical. But faith is much more substantial than that. Biblical faith is simply a decision to depend upon God and not ourselves. It's trust, not simply belief. After all, even the devils believe that God is one and shudder. No, it is trust. A biblical faith is a decision to depend upon God and not ourselves. This capacity to trust in God, though, is not something that we produce. It's something that God freely gives us. Now, just listen to what Paul has to say earlier on in his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. Paul writes, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Paul reminds us here of a truth that we mustn't overlook. Faith, that is, the capacity to believe and to depend on God, is not something we create within ourselves. It is a gift that God alone can give. Like all the individual items of armor that Paul lists in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, the shield, that is, faith, comes from God as well. That means that if you are sitting here today and there is even a hint of faith and dependence upon God in your heart, you can praise God because you didn't create that. That was God's gift to you. This capacity to believe, to trust in God, is a gift from above. But how exactly does faith protect us, though? Well, not because of anything inherent to faith itself. Now, to quote theologian Ian Duguid, true biblical faith derives its power not from any power inherent in faith, but rather from the object of that faith. Faith, and this is important, is merely the instrument that connects us to the utterly trustworthy and all-powerful God. An illustration may be helpful here. Imagine you're standing on the deck of the Spirit of Tasmania, enjoying a delightful evening crossing. You notice something in the water, so you lean slightly over the rail to get a better look. Suddenly, the handrail breaks, and before you know it, you're overboard in the icy waters of the Bass Strait. Now, fortunately for you, someone on deck sees you fall and immediately throws out a life buoy. It lands right beside you, and you grab it immediately. A group of passengers then haul you back to the ship, and before long, you're back aboard, wrapped in a towel, with a warm cup of tea in your hands. Now, here's the question. What saved you? Was it the life buoy? It was the people on the deck that saved you. The life buoy was simply the instrument that connected you to the ones doing the rescuing. Faith works the same way. It is not faith itself that saves and protects you. It's God who saves and protects you. Faith is simply the means that connects you to the God who promises to save you and protect you always. The God who is able to extinguish the flaming darts that come your way. The God who gives you what you cannot produce in and of yourself. And well, this shouldn't surprise us because God is actually the believer's shield in the first place. I am your shield, says the Lord to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 1. The Lord is my strength and my shield, proclaims the psalmist in Psalm 28, verse 7. God is a shield to those who take refuge in him, writes Solomon in Proverbs 30, verse 5. Faith protects us because faith is what brings us into relationship with the one who is our shield and our protector, God. At the end of the day, he is our shield, he is our protector. Faith is what brings us into proximity to the one who is willing and able to give us everything we lack. It's not faith that saves. It is faith in God that saves. But in order to receive these benefits, we must put our faith into practice. It's not enough to possess a shield. If you want to be protected, you must use it. And well, that brings us to the final point I want us to consider this morning. And that is the pressing need of every believer. What's the pressing need? Well, it's there in verse 16. It says, take up the shield of faith. And you'll notice that this isn't just a once-off thing either. Look again at verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Why must we do this? Well, because we're constantly under attack, remember. The evil one is relentless. He will not stop shooting his darts at us. Like Sceva at the Battle of Dyrrhachium, we are constantly under fire. Therefore, we must constantly take up the shield. How do we do this, though? Well, simply by applying the victory of Christ to our lives again and again. See, Christ has already conquered the grave. Therefore, our sin can no longer condemn us. We take up the shield when we apply the reality of the gospel to our everyday circumstances. And because of Jesus, our everyday failures are not final. Because of Jesus, our nagging pain is not forever. Because of Jesus, our tears will one day be turned into laughter. We take up the shield of faith whenever we seek refuge in Jesus, in his accomplishments and in his grace. Only by taking up the truth of the gospel can we extinguish the darts of the evil one. And this is how we take up our shield. Not by looking to ourselves, but by looking to Jesus, who is the victor. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we must admit that this is easier said than done. How we need your strength, not only on a Sunday morning, but on a Monday morning too. When the devil comes at us, seeking to destroy us. What comfort we have, Lord Jesus, knowing that you are our shield, and that you will protect us and preserve us come what may. And that simply by trusting in you, by looking to you and not to ourselves, we receive Jesus' victory. Oh Lord, we ask that you may help us to get our eyes off ourselves and onto him. Amen. We're going to close today's service by singing by faith, which I think is an appropriate way to end our time of worship. Putting our eyes on the God who is trustworthy and in whose name we can trust. Let's stand, let's sing.
By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers roam the earth with the power of his promise in their hearts, of a holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign. is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. By faith the prophet soared away when the longed-for Messiah would appear, with the power to break the chains of sin and death, and rise triumphant from the grave. By faith the church was called to go. In the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our souls. Till the race is finished and the work is done. We walk by faith and not by sight. By faith the mountain shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon His name. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our souls. We will till the race is finished and the is done. We walk by faith and not by sight. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our souls. We will till the race is finished and the work is done. We walk by faith and not.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that You would grant to us the strength that we need to stand this week as children of the promise, to live by faith and not by sight, till our race is finished and our work on here on earth is done. Keep our eyes fixed on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Please stick around for morning tea.